I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Atlanta! Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good to come to work and talk about a W? A win, baby. You start the show with a big hearty, hey,
man.
Oh, trying to get it up. We start the show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
Good job. Tribbs, it's great to work with you, brother, and it's great to be back to work on a Monday after a Falcons win, and we held on and we got it done.
A corrective emotional experience, my friend. It does. It was so gratifying. I actually saw it coming yesterday, though. I did. I liked what I saw the first couple of weeks. You can take some positive things. And if you clear up your mistakes, and they haven't done all of that, but, you know, you can just see it projecting in a positive direction. And by the way, I am humbled and honored to be called up from the Gwinnett Stripers to do some spot starts this week.
Yeah, Carl's on vacay. Again, everything with Carl is a military secret.
That's not what I heard. He was dealing with an embarrassing rash.
No, I have no idea where Carl is, but he's on vacation, so he's having some fun, I believe, with the family. So we got Rob in today, and really stoked, as we said, talking to Randy and Andy during the handoff. I appreciate Mike Conte letting us work, because our old boss, and him and I used to go round and round and round, but this was one that he just never would ever sign off on for whatever reason. I don't think he understood guy talk.
No, I don't think he did. I think he was, bless his heart.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Little interpersonally limited, awkward.
So it was always kind of, Chris doesn't know the backstory here, but yeah, you've heard the stories about the previous boss. So this was one that we could just never allow to happen for whatever reason, so we got a chance to do it this week. Looking forward to it. So much to unpack from the weekend. Obviously, Georgia was sloppy. The good news is Kirby's got plenty enough to bellyache and yell at these guys all
week
long. Oh,
he loves that so much. Yeah. He is chewing on them this week.
Right.
Coaches live for things like this.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't hope it got twisted. I guess Georgia Tech fans are so peculiar in so many ways that they felt that there was some kind of relish when we were talking about Jeff Collins, and there was no relish in it. Love Jeff Collins' personality.
Why would people think they thought that of you? They think
Carl and I were like, as if somehow we're like, ooh, we're the coach killers. No, we just.
It's like you're rubbing each other down with oil. You were so excited no, about the notion of Jeff Collins being
fired.
It's
Chris's fault because he was playing the Undertaker music. So that's, see, music adds a lot of solemnity to the proceedings.
It
gets people in their bag, and they perceive it as somehow we're piling on.
I'm not a person that relishes guys getting fired. No. I know sometimes they should, but I do have a sense of humanity about me.
Right.
I know he gets to walk out the door with about $10 million. What a country we live in where you can suck at your job and walk away with not a golden parachute, but a platinum parachute.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we said last week. You know, yeah, you're here to do a job. You're here to resurrect. Actually, it didn't need resurrecting. It just needed to be course corrected because Paul Johnson could certainly put them in bowl games and could win 10 games every few years, but the style of play wasn't as appealing and people want to see their guys in the NFL. Whatever, you know, I can't speak to it because I've tried to figure out Georgia Tech's fan base for the 24 years I've lived here, and I don't understand them because
it's
I don't
an odd
know what
bunch.
They want. I don't know what they want.
I think 40% of that student body doesn't even realize they have a football team.
Right. There's jokes I used to be able to do, but we can't do them anymore because somebody will complain about, let's just say I did a student's voice from somewhere in the subcontinent.
Okay.
Can't do that anymore. But no, so Tech is Tech had the big meeting today. We'll get into that as part of the headlines. And then the Braves. Little nervous, though, because Strider with that oblique thing, now they put him on retroactive DL. And the word is, Rob, we're not going to see him until the postseason begins, and that means we're not going to see him against the Mets.
That's kind of a shame. But those oblique things, they can linger no matter how young you are. That's a tricky injury. How many times have you seen a guy with an oblique injury in baseball? They're out 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
You know, so hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, and I know that Charlie Morton, a lot of guys were kind of echoing the sentiments, which you and I heard you on the weekend last weekend. Charlie Morton needs a couple of good outings, and you don't have a lot of confidence in him. He's got the experience. That was always the debate. We were putting that on a poll question last week. How would you like to see your three starters in the playoffs? And Morton right now, I mean, geez, he's stumbling to the gate, it looks like.
I can't trust guys that are that old. I know he still has his velocity, but I can't remember which pitcher it was. Somebody asked him, what is it like for you at an advanced age when you get to the postseason? He goes, well, there's always a cortisone shot. That's what it boils down to. It's the cortisone shot.
Yeah, he's literally like the old crafty right-hander on the Cleveland Indians in the movie Major League. But in this case, Morton, he's got the experience, but you just don't have a lot of confidence. Then
I don't.
Then there's the worst-case scenario, which is a guy in the worst slump of his career at the worst possible time, and that's Matt Olson.
Yes. I think that's going to be okay. And Austin Riley kind of has been stubbing his toe this month, too. I think maybe this is a good time for that slump because inevitably he's too good to slump through the postseason. So maybe he gets this poison out of his system. He starts doing what we signed him to do in the postseason.
Right. So we'll cover all that stuff today, guys. As you know, you'll get Arthur Smith. And again, a lot of fun today. I've talked
Grant
about
McCauley. Let's not neglect our buddy Grant McCauley. What, at 2:40, I believe.
2:40 today, early edition with Grant to talk about all those things we're covering and more. But yeah, man, Falcon victory Monday here on Dukes and Bell. And man, it's basically been like almost every game we've played this year. Mariota does enough to keep us in it, to win it, and then it's almost like he's Lucy and you're Charlie Brown, and whoop, he pulls the football away from you. And he literally did in this one.
I liken it to like teaching a toddler how to play dice. Oh, look, they're getting it. All of a sudden, they just decide to ram the dice in some orifice, like do something. What are you doing?
That's a good visual. How many toddlers are you teaching craps to, by the way?
They should learn.
But no, in this one, this was a game where you felt like about third quarter, you know, we can win this. I mean, you could see it. And then, unfortunately, the defense, there was some good, some bad. Luckily, they saved your cheese at the end of the game. Great pick from Richie Grant. Get down. Don't try to
get down.
It.
Yes. Yes, his teammates. Please get down.
And then one of the things that I said on Twitter, and it's something we've talked about, I understand that you've got to have a balance and you can't run a guy into the ground. But my God, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to run Cordero Patterson into the ground because he's the one guy that moves the chains.
But you have to have some economy, though, with his carries, though. You do have to, because what is Arthur Smith? What is his footballgasm? His idea of a footballgasm is to be able to have a lead late in the ballgame, about 6 minutes left, and just be able to run the clock out. And then do the victory formation and go home. So you got to be – I think Tyler Algier is going to emerge. He's already established himself as a much better blocker than Devontae Freeman. So I think we're good as far as that goes.
So we've got plenty to dive into. But on a Falcon Victory Monday, we'll talk about all the aspects of the game, the things we like. Drake London continues to kick butt and just look like he certainly belongs to be picked where he was selected.
A Kyle Pitts sighting yesterday?
Well, how about Mariota going to Kyle Pitts down the field and unfortunately overthrows him? But that could have been six to start
the game. Yeah. But his accuracy issues have been an issue. But – I root for Marcus Mariota. I know his limitations. He and Geno Smith are kind of the same guy in a way. If you mess around, they will beat you, but can you necessarily count on them to lead you on a game-winning drive habitually?
Right.
Every once in a while, sure, but it's not a given that he would do it, and that's the essence of why he is what he is.
Yeah, and that's something that I've been talking about all a couple of weeks. And again, you got everything from Falcon fans that are hardcore, and these guys think some folks feel, hey, we could go to the playoffs, to folks who feel, forget it, let's just go get the best quarterback next year. And you try to find, when you're doing talk radio, an equilibrium where you try to be half glass half full. And I've seen it with Mariota. I said part of the reason I wanted Ritter was I know what I've got. I know the ceiling with Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
It was another example. But because he's got the experience, he's still going to give, obviously, the coach the edge over Ritter because he's been there and done that. And you got to take, unfortunately, the bad with the good. His bad is crazy turnovers, and you've seen it in every one of the games.
At the most inopportune moments, Mikey.
Yes.
The most inopportune moments.
And this is where, as a fan, you say, what can you do differently? Well, there's really not much. You had good play calls. We'll talk about Dean Pease's defense. I still think there's too much of a cushion off the line on the DBs. We'll get into that. But, I mean, one thing, if you're Arthur Smith, you've got the weapons, you're putting him in a position to win the game, and you need a quarterback to be competent, to be, you know, I'm not saying you got to be, you know, Joe Montana, but you can't do some of the things he's been doing.
You have to be, you know what, he's mostly competent. But like I said, his mistakes seem to happen at the most inopportune moments, a fourth quarter fumble, or Jake Matthews with a false start in the red zone. Those things just, they drive you crazy. There's such a small, thin line of error in the NFL, especially when you're not a perfect team, you have a limited roster, those mistakes metastasize, next thing you know, you lose.
So we are a team that's 1-2. We could very easily be 2-1. Now we're
in first place, by the way.
And where it gets interesting is you basically sleptwalked to start. You didn't finish the Saints game, you didn't start the Rams game, but then the Rams did everything they did in that Tampa Bay playoff game to give it back to you, and then you needed a game. The same thing we just talked about. Yep. If Mariota can just give me some competent play, we very easily could have upset the Rams, and you're this close. Now, every NFL game this weekend, I heard Andy and Randy talk about it, came down to one play.
It did.
And in our situation, if we just made a couple more plays, we literally are 3-0. That's the difference.
Well, I think the drone incident threw a wrench into everything.
Don't you think that killed momentum?
I think it absolutely did. It gave Seattle a chance to regroup. We'll get into that next.
Yeah. It was an interesting game. Yes, it was a Falcons game, so you were pulling your hair out, but we're talking about a dub. Doesn't it feel great? All the things, all the negativity, at least for this week, out the window. We're talking about a team which, hey, can certainly compete for this division because nobody's running away with it.
Go Birds.
Rob is in today. He's in all week for Carl. We got plenty to dive in. We'll dive into those headlines. Plenty of Falcons, as you mentioned. Grant's coming up too. What a great day when everybody's winning.
On a winning Monday, it's Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble filling in for Carl Dukes, who's doing his court-mandated community service.
Now, people will take that for real, Rob. You know how the world works these days. Nobody has a sense of irony. People are very literal.
You still have to pound that drum, though, man. You have to. They have to come around at some point. We can't be having our thoughts and our speech stifled that much. But by the way, headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone does not have to keep you down. We can help. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. And as Carl will say, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
You know what, Mike? This segment also brought to you by the number 27. How many points the Falcons score in game one? 27.
Mm.
Game two? 27. And game three? 27.
Play some blackjack? No, you can't hit 27. That'd be roulette.
That'd be roulette, indeed. Let's hear it from a very tickled Arthur Smith after the W yesterday.
Yeah, it was really inspiring to watch those guys. Nobody flinched, even at late in there, and the game can change in a heartbeat, but you play the next down, and the rush, they kept coming, and they broke the dam at the end. It was huge.
Yeah, I mean, there was things that were working. You know, the attempts to Pitts that we talked about in the first segment of the program about how Pitts was targeted early and often. And it almost reminded us a little bit of back in 2015 with hashtag free Roddy. But how much do you put into coach in the game plan? It's his game plan. I mean, the first play
but
of the
I thought
game,
it wasn't fantasy football, Mike. And now it's funny how they actually do listen because they know. Why else did you draft the guy?
I mean, I've said it. That's the thing. When you, I know people say, well, no, there's the game plan. No. When you draft a guy up there, you want him to be Travis Kelce or George Kittle.
Sort of hybrid, yeah.
Correct. And he is certainly capable of doing it, being that big target. But I thought he was fantastic, and Drake London was money yesterday.
Do you think that Mariota innately has some chemistry with London? He's trying to cultivate it with Pitts, maybe?
I said this on Friday's show. Sometimes you just see it. I mean, the first couple games, Russell Wilson's cultivating nothing with anybody on that team. But it looked like the tight ends more than the wide receivers early on. In this case, it's the wide receiver. But Drake London, the score where he makes that twist and the move, that's a veteran NFL play.
It is. Well, you've got basketball on the football field.
Right.
Now, if we can the offensive line's actually playing better. Have they necessarily gelled? I heard Randy McMichael saying this. They certainly are getting there. The run blocking's been great. Mariota finally got sacked for the first time yesterday.
But I will say, and sometimes he kind of stays in the pocket too long, you could argue. In some cases, maybe we're trying to, I don't know what maybe he's not seeing it, or the progressions are taking that long. Either way, I thought Colby Gossett did a job that was pretty solid. We were worried about Elijah Wilkinson, personal reasons out, and the offensive line had been so much better this year, but Gossett was able to do the job.
Did you hear they had a players-only meeting on Friday night? And is that corny? No, I don't think it is.
No, Richie Grant, the guys talked about it.
Yes.
I just think whatever gets it done, doesn't matter what the media thinks, doesn't matter what the fans think, as long as those guys believe in each other and something's accomplished from it.
Could that trip, combined with the way you lost, but you also showed such resiliency coming back against the Rams, you had that week to yourselves out in Seattle, maybe that was a nice little bonding experience, develop some team chemistry, kind of make sure that locker room's nice and healthy. I don't think that's a bad thing ever.
I think this team has certainly got enough talent on it. In the schedule, now again, the schedule's kind of a beast.
Yep.
This Browns, but again, who looks at the Browns and says they're world beaters? I mean, they did some nice things the other night on TV. You saw it, and certainly Brissett is a competent game manager who makes high percentage throws.
Hey, all the women in town can rest easy because Deshaun Watson will not be making the trip this weekend.
It's an easy one.
It's an easy low hanging fruit, but I'm all about low hanging fruit. Why not?
But no, it just look. You can't live in the past. Although I did live in the past for 2 weeks about that Saints game because that one still irks you. Because now you realize the Saints aren't any good.
No.
And you breathe life into it by whatever you did. Dean Pease maintains they didn't change their defensive posture. I still think they've got to get tighter on the line. A.J. Terrell had some good and some bad. I guess because we've got Hayward on the other side, I guess they're kind of going after him.
How about the flashback I had when I saw Seattle's tight end running free throughout the Serengeti Plain, it seemed like. Yeah, well, this again, really?
Now, the good news was they did get that long drive down the field. And as you just said, as a Falcon fan, you're going, my God, it looks like a Madden game. We can't stop anybody. But we bent, didn't break, held them to that first field goal. That was big.
I think there's two guys. Patterson and Grady Jarrett willed that team to victory yesterday. Especially the way Patterson ran. He runs like a grown-ass man with bad intentions. And I just hope they can keep him healthy. And I hope they can some depth can emerge. And I like the Tyler Algier kid because he got a lot of his yards after contact. That's what they liked about him coming out of BYU. Hope they can get some depth there. And look at it this way, Mike. The Falcons now have an identity, a physical running team.
That's what they want to be under Arthur Smith. We talked about adding the size. The offensive line guys and Dahlman, I think, you know, we haven't really complained about Dahlman. Some of those snaps were a little funky. He's got to tighten that up, get that consistently up to where he's picking it up chest high.
That's repetition.
Hopefully that gets better. But the offensive line, we were worried about it. Not bad. The 12th man, I mean, we weren't sloppy, overtly sloppy, you could argue, offensively, as far as false starts, things like that.
Kirby Smart has got to be the happiest man in the country today. You know why? Because he gets to just chew on his players all week. Because Kent State didn't do much to really challenge him. Georgia was bored. And they turned the ball over. They were bored.
All last week, I was giving you the roster of Kent State. For the most part, again, tongue-in-cheek as a joke.
Yep.
But then, because Georgia turned the ball over and Kent State, look, they showed up. They got a $1.9 million paycheck. But
they're not a joke.
Play. No.
Yeah. Good for them.
But I thought Stetson Bennett, and this is something I think Kirby's going to be banging this message all week, the upperclassmen set the tone. Bennett was awful. He was sloppy, and other guys were sloppy, period.
I think just good old-fashioned boredom. It's hard to get up for Kent State. Meanwhile, down on the flats, looks like the AD, Todd Stansberry, is on his way out the door. Remember, he played for Bill Curry. That's a shame. Jeff Collins, born and raised here in Atlanta, was on George O'Leary's staff. I think as a grad assistant now, he's been fired as well. But now what?
Yeah, and I know that, as you guys know, athletic directors, they ride and die with their biggest hires.
Yes,
usually it's
do.
Men's basketball.
And I hear there's some financial disarray at Georgia Tech.
Well, this is where it gets sideways. The endowment has nothing to do with the athletic department, okay? They got over $2 billion. That's a separate – the athletic department's got to manage its own budget. They've had to buy guys out. Seems like they were paying off Paul Hewitt for a decade.
Can't they do what Congress does and have a lockbox for Social Security? Can't they just dip into those funds, you know, for the betterment of the football program?
Apparently, it's not the way it works over there. Here's the question. They put out the press release. Todd Stansberry, as you mentioned, dismissed, along with Coach Collins. Brent Key will be the interim head coach. And the Institute Chief of Staff and Senior VP Frank Neville is the interim athletic director. Do you have the resources to go get a big-name coach? And then there's the question. How big a job is Georgia Tech?
Brian
it's
Gephardt.
Got all the history in the world, but does that mean anything in 2022?
Brian Gephardt asked a great question. He's going to pose that one. I hope I'm not stealing his thunder, but it's true. Which job is more desirable, Nebraska or Georgia Tech? I would think Georgia Tech because of the culture here in Atlanta with the NIL, the potential for that, right?
Right. Now, this is the great debate. We kind of chopped this up last week. The academic aspects about the math and the calculus. I mean, either you do take it or you don't. If you make the athletes take it, then maybe you shouldn't. And let's just get serious about winning football games.
I thought
games.
That's what the management degree was for.
This is the great debate. If you some Tech fans, and again, if somebody wants to give me a straight answer on this, I've been asking this question for years. Yeah, do you have to take all that? You're telling me Kenny Anderson can find the library? Come on, guys. I mean, there's always a way to work around it. I just don't understand what Georgia Tech wants to be. You want to be Northwestern and Stanford and never win a championship in football? Or do you want to try to compete in the ACC, which you should be able to because it's so mediocre these days?
Absolutely mediocre, indeed. All right, so we'll see what happens with that. Braves are in a split with the Phillies, game and a half back against the Mets. And, of course, today, of course, the Braves visited the White House, and Joe Biden was really psyched to meet Warren Spahn.
See, no, you stop that. You stop. See, again, you can't do that. See, Rob, this is why maybe Terry would never let us work together.
What's wrong with that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Because
no, that's a ding-ding. Oh, I'm sorry.
20 years
what,
ago.
What, is he God?
20 years ago, we could do that. You can't do
What's
that.
What's wrong with it now? Are you kidding me?
Look, did I want to
Those
say
people in Washington hate all of you. They hate me. They hate Mike. They hate all of us. I don't care if there's an R or a D in front of the name. They hate us.
I was willing to say congratulations on the America's Cup and let's welcome the Harlem Globetrotters, but I did not. We're not going to do that. Hey, there you go. Dansby suit was kind of funky if you saw today. I heard Andy Randy talking about a little ill-fitting. Let's talk about that game. It seemed like it never ended. 6.5 hours. Thunderstorms rolled in.
Right.
We already talked about Charlie Morton getting bombed. How about Acuna, though, off the bench? A big-time walk and then the big base knock and obviously Michael Money Harris doing his job,
Are you worried about Ronald? I think it's all psychological because I think he is such a baseball prodigy that he has never really had any adversity when it comes to baseball. Then you get the injury and the knee is still, he's second guessing his body and everything else. I think this is actually good for him. It's going to be a maturation process for Ronald. I'm hoping.
It was getting ugly in Philly at first. Luckily, they do split, so they take 2 out of 4. The Mets lost one of the games over the weekend, 1.5 back. Here's Snitker on getting the job done up in Philly.
It's a good series of split, you know, the way we started it out. Because that's 7 pretty big games that we got, you know, in the last 10 with these guys. So I'm happy with, you know, where we're at right now.
Yeah, man, it was one of those games that apparently it really did have an effect on the team. I saw some of the tweets from some of the guys that cover, Mark Bowman, Dave O'Brien. You could actually hear the Braves whooping it up inside the clubhouse because that was a grind of a game, mm-hmm. and it was huge to get those 2 wins up there.
Do you feel like they have to win the division to win a World Series? I don't. I think it'd be nice to avoid that 3-game series because anything can happen in a 3-game series.
Problem is now with the Padres, Soto's getting hot.
Yeah.
So I was feeling like we could handle the Padres. But again, first things first, you'd be taking on the Phillies and then you get the Dodgers. And there's a lot of other ways you can look at how you could get to the postseason. Number one is Braves fans just want to win this division. Don't give the Mets any kind of toehold and make their path much more difficult. You're going to have to go with a rotation that unfortunately isn't as good when you're talking about Scherzer out there. I mean, like the Mets, they're going to throw their best 3 games. You're a game and a half back. You can come out on top. Set the tone and see if the Mets, every time there's a punch and a counterpunch, the Mets have always seemed to respond this season, unlike previous years.
You know what it is? I think Buck Showalter's made all the difference in the world. That, you know what they do? They're a patient hitting team. Yeah, they're not like the Madden of baseball, but they put the ball in play. They put pressure on the defense. They have good at-bats. They clearly have good pitching, good defense, and they clearly have it meted as they customarily do. And I knew that. I knew this year was a different team.
Yeah, they were talking about how it felt a little bit like things were coming off the rails. You know, we talked about the hittings, the swoon for Matt Olson. Man, I don't know. I've never seen Matt Olson operate in this environment. I don't know if he's going to pull out of this.
I think he will. I think he's too good not to pull out of this. I think this is the perfect time for a slump. All right, coming up next, we'll see if Grant McCauley agrees with me. He is our baseball maven. Coming up next, it's Dukes and Bell, Rob Tribble filling in. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yes, he is a host of the From the Diamond podcast, 5 to 7 on Sundays. He has this lucid, agile baseball mind. He is Grant McCauley. Grant, it is so good to hear your voice again, my friend.
Rob Tribble, it has been far, far too long. Great to talk to you as well.
Yes, sir. All right, Matt Olson's hitting slump. You know, there are ways to get out of a hitting slump. Sometimes you just have to endure it. You can use visualization. Maybe you can hire John Smoltz as a sports psychologist, Dr. Jack Llewellyn. What about his eyes? Maybe he should just have his eyes checked. Sometimes that's a thing, you know?
You know, that's been a thing. It's even been a thing in 2022. Eddie Rosario went through that whole deal. But I don't think that's the issue with Matt right now. And I talked about this a lot with Corey McCartney, who's my co-host on From the Diamond. And we've kind of been going through this for a few weeks now and talked about it again this morning on Battery Power. The big thing that I look at with, you know, with Matt Olson has simply been his struggles on fastballs. He is getting beat far too often in the zone on fastballs, and that's something even he acknowledged to David O'Brien recently on this road trip in an article that was in The Athletic a couple of days ago, and that's the thing that you're trying to correct. I mean, you can key in as much as you want to on fastballs, but unfortunately, that's not all you're going to be thrown. So I really feel like it's going to be perhaps even the most minor of adjustments, and then, of course, having a little bit of success that'll get the confidence back, get him rolling again, because we have not seen the best of Matt Olson. But if you could pick a time for a slump, this would not be the time that you would have picked, and September has only magnified that most certainly.
And we said last week, Grant, just one more thing on Olson, because we've never seen him before up close and personal. I don't know how he deals with adversity. I know he's a career 250 hitter. I know he pops for RBIs and home runs, but this is one where, you know, it's that added pressure element of now you're not that it was the minors, but you're in the big time now, in a big time pennant race. Is there anything that in years past, Austin Riley worked with the minor league instructor. I mean, is there anything anybody else in the organization can do to get this guy back where he needs to be?
No, I don't know that there's really anything, to be honest, that is going to really change the trajectory of it right now. And we don't have a whole lot of time that you want to, you know, get too many cooks in the kitchen, as they say, I guess. But the thing about Matt Olson, the hitter, and the profile that he brought over, he's not the hitter for average that Freddie Freeman was and still is, quite obviously, as Freddie's challenging for a batting title. But Olson does walk. He is a selective hitter, and he has more home runs than any other first baseman in baseball over the past 4 years. So you knew you were getting that bona fide power threat, and a guy that you were hoping, and I think maybe the glove has been a little bit disappointing so far this year, is going to be something you can also depend on. But this, I just feel like, is as much as we look for a rhyme or a reason or a cause or perhaps the quickest fix you can find, is just one of those slumps that, like Rob said, sometimes you just have to hit your way out of them. And I think that's where Matt Olson is. He did get that day off on Saturday. I know we talked about that, Mike, time and again. Would a day off help? I don't know. Yesterday was not necessarily a banner day if you look at the box score, but he did have a double. He nearly had a solo home run. It was tracked in at the wall. So maybe a couple of good swings per day, and Matt Olson starts to see those results and gets going, because the Braves desperately need him to be a run producer, whether he's the cleanup man or not.
You know, Grant, I think it's been a difficult year for Ronald Acuña. I think a lot of course, we have the physical. You know, the knee, he second-guessed his knee. It was sore. Now the back issue. I also think that he is such a baseball prodigy, and I was telling Mike this earlier, he's such a baseball prodigy that he's not used to any sort of adversity whatsoever, so this could actually help in his maturation process. And I think he's too gifted not to crawl out of all this adversarial things he's going through.
Wow, you must be reading from my book, because that's been kind of my read on Ronald Acuña Jr. All year is when you I know, and it's a good book, too. So when I look at Ronald and you look at his career, how many times do you think he's walked onto a baseball field and not been the best player out there? I would say not too many times. And when we are talking, when he's not the best player out there, it's guys, you know, like Mike Trout or Shohei Ohtani or maybe Fernando Tatis before he got himself into some trouble, Juan Soto. But it's a discussion every time. This year he has not looked like that guy, and I know the knee has been a big part of that. This nagging back thing hopefully is something that's behind him now. Got most of the weekend off against Philadelphia. Came up in two key spots for the Braves in the 8th inning and the 11th. He was intentionally walked. It set up a situation where a wild pitch helped the Braves tie the game. And then it was Ronald coming through with the base hit to put him ahead in a game that they very much needed to win. They had to get out of Philly with a split. And when they needed somebody to come through with a big hit, Ronald was the guy. So he continues to be that. He will continue in the future to be that guy for this team. It's just, I think, it's been a process of him getting himself through all of the physical and mental hurdles that comes with an injury that I'm sure has created this at least a little bit of doubt in your own abilities. And that's something that he probably had not experienced too many times in his life, because he's still a pretty young kid. He's not even 25 yet.
It is our man, Grant McCauley, guys, talking about the Bravos with that split in Philly. More on the Falcons and a victory Monday, how we got it done in Seattle coming up. Grant, we were just talking to start the show about Charlie Morton. And unfortunately, because of the oblique injury to Strider, we're not going to see him against the Mets. We will throw out Fried, Wright, and Morton. Should we be concerned about Charlie? I know he's the vet, the guy that's got the experience in the postseason, but where is he at now?
Well, I mean, obviously he has not looked like the guy that we've seen in postseasons past. He hit up for 6 runs, a couple of home runs by Kyle Schwarber on Sunday, and that continues to be, if you track back his last 4 starts, you know, he's allowed 15 earned runs across those starts, and a lot of hits, a lot of walks, a lot of homers. Yeah, there's a lot of strikeouts, but the swing and miss stuff has really just not been there for him in some key moments when he's needed it most. And I don't know that there's, again, to kind of go back to what we're talking about with with Matt Olson, you know, a quick and easy way to fix this. I mean, he's going to have to be the guy that makes the adjustments. But you go look at his baseball reference page or just his career stats on home runs allowed. He has never allowed more home runs in his career than he's allowed this season, 26 of them. He allowed 16 last year, and that, I would say, was a high number for him. So he's got to figure out how to keep the ball in the ballpark. If there's one thing he can do that would, you know, turn him around and hopefully get him heading in the right direction, it's to keep the ball in the yard. And sometimes that's easier said than done, but you line up that series the best you can with no Spencer Strider. I think you want Max Fried, you want Kyle Wright, and you want Charlie Morton, who's been a big-game postseason pitcher in his career, to face the Mets in what is very well what could decide the division when you think about the potential swing with three games head-to-head right now, with just three games left after that for both clubs.
He's a far younger, more winsome version of Peter Gammons, our baseball pundit, Grant McCauley, joining us, and he also has his From the Diamond podcast, 5 to 7 on Sundays. Grant, I have some advice for Kenley Jansen, and I think it's a very simple thing, but I think it could actually steal some outs this way. He should devote more time to his pickoff move. It would not compromise his preparation, pitching, and everything else, because he never pays any attention to a runner on first base. It'd be such a surprise if he could develop that pickoff move. He could probably steal an out and make innings a lot easier for all of us, including himself and his teammates. In my humble opinion, Grant.
It has added some stress to some of his ninth inning situations, most certainly. But I don't know that at this point, what's the old saying about a leopard in his spots or a tiger in his stripes or whatever it is. I don't know that he's going to make that change, but it would help me with my anxiety when somebody gets on, because you know that this is something teams can exploit. And not only have they exploited him on the base paths to the tune of, I believe, a 93% stolen base percentage for would-be base stealers. But you saw what the Nationals did to him about a week ago when they decided they'd just have a bunt of Palooza there in the ninth inning and make him run around and field his position. So, you know, it's with Kinley so much in his career, it's been, okay, that guy's over at first. I'm going to strike the next three guys out anyway, so it doesn't matter. But right now, I think he's, you know, had to fight a little bit for it. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of Braves relievers over the course of the last few years, and everybody's envious of Max Fried's pickoff move. I don't know that Kinley's going to get one of those, but just a little courtesy toss over there to let you know, hey, go ahead and get a half a step back there to give the catcher some kind of chance to gun down a runner. Might be helpful, because baseball is, of course, the game of inches.
Yeah, when Kinley's working right, it doesn't bother you. When he isn't, that hitch to the thing just drives you just up.
Do it. Everything.
Do it. It just does. Anyway, it's our man Grant McCauley, GMAC, with us. More on the Falcons, guys, with a blitz coming up. The Braves go with Bryce Elder. I mean, he's looking good. I'll be honest, Grant, there's probably most Braves fans would say anybody from Gwinnett other than Odorizzi. That's another. I mentioned Morton. Odorizzi is just, look, they can't all work out midseason. You got Will Smith off the payroll, but Odorizzi's been a colossal disappointment.
Yeah, and that clunker on Friday, I think, was probably the coup de grace, one of the worst starts by a Braves pitcher all season long, and we've had a few clunkers here and there. But, you know, with Jake, he said it after that start. It's like, hey, either it was a strikeout or they were hitting the ball, and they were hitting the ball hard. And the eight earned runs would tell you they were hitting the ball hard quite a bit. You know, I think we're going to see Kyle Muller in this series against Washington, but Jake Odorizzi is going to be thrown in that third game against the Nationals, so that you can reset your rotation for this Mets series. And a big reason why you have to do it and maybe trot him out there again is you're already tapping into Bryce Elder to fill the spot of Spencer Strider in this rotation. So it's a challenge, I think, right now to kind of get the pieces where you want them. But if you had to line it up and throw Odorizzi against anybody, I'd rather throw him against the last-place Washington Nationals than risk anything against the New York Mets at this stage. But, you know, they don't all work out, and this is just an example of, you know, one of those things where, you know, a new spot, you know, doesn't necessarily turn a player's career around every time, that change of venue. But, you know, I think the Braves have done as best they can to set up their rotation for this stretch drive, and particularly that three-game series against the Mets. The injury to Spencer Strider, though, that's just something that is going to be a hurdle they're going to have to overcome, and still, fingers crossed, he has no setbacks whatsoever as he gets ready for the postseason, because you know you need him there.
Well, Grant, hearing your voice is like 2018 all over again.
I love it.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you very much.
Hey, man, all right. Take care, guys.
And again, as we mentioned, Braves at the White House today, all the video, all the suits.
Yep.
See Eddie Chavez wearing it, rocking a hat?
Yep.
Great looking lead,
I just
man.
Love seeing Wash up in the front row because I love him so much.
Just one of the old school guys, OG in the MLB, man. Hey, it's Rob Tribble in for Carl Dukes all this week. The Unholy Alliance, we
the
call
Unholy
it.
Alliance.
We got a blitz. We're going to dive into the Falcons. It just feels good to be talking about a W. Some crazy one-possession games in the NFL this weekend, and we were one of them, weren't we?
That's right. We're going to do the NFL Blitz, top of the hour. Dukes and Bill. Rob Tribble filling in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.